In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a friend of mine in high school who was a tremendous athlete. He excelled in the three sports that he competed in. The best of those three sports was basketball. He had the talent to dribble the basketball, the talent to shoot, and defense. And there, during our time, he was able to break many school records and several college programs from across the country came to see him play. Through this, he was going to get an education and quite possibly this could bring income for him in the future. During our senior year together, he started to slack off. He didn't go to class as often. He thought because of his talent, that could carry him over. He'd show up late for practice, and he gave an attitude that because of his ability, his talent could carry it over. He was sorely mistaken. That year, he was ineligible to play because of his grades. And because of that, those scholarships were never offered him. And he was never able to use that God-given talent to its utmost potential. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, in the gospel reading this morning, we hear the parable, a parable that we probably all know by heart. We hear the parable of the 10 talents. And how we hear a master summoned his servants, and he gave one 5 talents, he gave the second 2, and he gave the third 1. Yet it is key for us to remember that the master gave to each according to the ability of each servant. On a side note, we must define what a talent was worth at those times. You see, a talent, 1 talent at that time, was more than 15 years of wages from work. So I want you to think about that for one moment. Think about 15 years of work being given to you 5 times. Now you're starting to think. The funding that came to the first. 30 years of earned incomes given to the second individual, and then 15 years of income given to the last. Now we have a sense. We hear that the first servant went and immediately traded and made 5 more talents right away without any hesitation. We know that the second also doubled his amount. And yet we know that the third went and dug the talent in the ground and hid his master's money. The very next line in Scripture states that after a long time, the master came and settled the accounts of the servants. So notice that it wasn't for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, a quarter of the year, 1 year, 5 years, we don't know. But it's stated that after a long period of time that the master came. What does this tell us? This means that the master gave the servants plenty of time and many opportunities to increase the talents that they were given. When the servants met with the master, the first 2 told the master what the master gave to them, and they did in return with those talents entrusted to them. The master told the first 2 servants, both individually, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over so little. I will set you over so much. Enter into the joy of your master." The key term here is that the master said that they had been faithful over a little. Now, I need you to do the math. What's 15? 14 times 5? 75 years of wages. Now do me one favor. Double the 75. What's 75 plus 75, everybody? I feel like I need a whiteboard. 150. 150 talents then were given back to the master. That's from the first individual. Again, one talent equaled 15 years of wages from work. And because of their work, the master tells them, because of their hard work, enter into the joy of your master. Those are for the first two. But we know something happened very differently with the third servant. That was not the same scenario. The servant said right away, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, what is yours? This is very important because we must look at the words of the third servant. The servant said, here is your talent, recognizing that the talent was not his alone. It was only the master's. And he didn't want anything to do with it. He kept it hidden. The third servant was in charge to watch over the talent, though, as we know, and to make it grow. Yet the return that the talent had was the exact same way that was given to him. And then we hear the master reply with the words, you wicked and lazy servant. Furthermore, the master goes on to tell how he could have increased the talent, showing him and telling him what he could have done along the way. And then the master takes the talent and gives it to the first who had 10. Remember, 150 years of wages. And the master says for him to be thrown into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. On a side note, when I was at seminary and we had this class on the scripture passage, we asked our professor, Father Ted Stelianopoulos, what this meant. And someone, I forgot to ask the question, you know, trying to be a smart aleck, said, well, what about the person didn't have any teeth? And he would say, and I have to impersonate him because this is how he had his glasses.
Teeth will be provided.
You see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, what a beautiful parable we have. But now you're probably thinking, okay, Father, the 10 talents, the 4 talents, what does it mean to me today? Well, we must first be faithful in using the opportunities for service in which our Lord has given us. We must remember that diligence is rewarded and that negligence is punished. I'm going to say that line again. We must remember that diligence is rewarded and that negligence is punished. We must constantly remember that whatever we have, whether they are opportunities or abilities, everything and all belong to God Himself. We may in fact possess temporarily, but God alone owns them. You and I are simply stewards of God's great gifts. Christ our Lord grants the opportunities for service in keeping with our ability to make them of good use. In the final day of judgment, the number of talents will not matter. Rather, the question will be, how have you been faithful in the use of your own talents? Everything that we do right now, Our interaction with each other, our responsibilities, our love or lack thereof for our neighbor, and all those we come in contact with, these are all important. And of course, the sharing in the joy of the Master in which Christ speaks about is the joy of being counted worthy in his heavenly kingdom, where there will be no end and his glory will be praised forever. However, we must remember the other side of the coin, or rather, to be funny, the other side of the talent. What happens to those who do not show profit from their talents? We know that many make excuses, and our Lord emphasized by saying, "You wicked and lazy servant," as he said in the parable. We hear that a place of darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth is set aside, yet this same weeping and gnashing is the same as those who do not follow the gospel, and especially for those who do not love their neighbors. It is almost that those who do wrong in the world are equal to those who do nothing in this world. I'm going to say that again. It is almost that those who do wrong in the world are equal to those who do nothing in the world. The main lesson of this parable is simple. We must all be productive where Christ our God has given us the ability and the opportunity to show our talents. But this often raises a question: what are my own talents? We must not use this here as a measure of money, but of the ability and opportunity that God gives us. The first thing to realize is that we all do not have the same talents, and that our number of talents may differ, just like the parable, 5 to 2 to 1. But our goal, the final outcome, should always be the same. Some may have one talent, some may possess more. What is important to remember is that Christ gives us each according to our own ability. The nature of our talent can differ as well, of course. As St. Paul states, some are called to be teachers, some are to serve, but everyone has the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Some talents can be very noticeable, and others could be blurred, even blurred into the ground like the servant did, keeping them buried. It is how we see our talents and how we then can apply our talents to the glory of God. We've all heard the expression, when you need to do something, you gotta get your hands dirty. Well, shouldn't we think that same way of our talents? Shouldn't we try all aspects? And if we fail, fine. But we know that we tried to increase what God has given us. He wants us to work. He does not want us to be lazy and to bury our talents. We must never give up trying, and it is through hard work that endurance is created. We are never responsible for giving to God what we do not have, but we are always responsible for giving what we do have. I'm going to say that line again. We are never responsible for giving to God what we do not have, but we are responsible always for giving what we do have. Our Lord wants us to make full use of the talents that He has given us so that His kingdom can grow that much more here on earth. Also, we can seek the counsel of others, because it is through family, friends, and parish family members that can also see our own strengths and call out our own weaknesses better than we can. Through such personal diligence and advice from others, we can gain insight on our abilities and the opportunities that God gives us. So as we leave today, let us all work and double. No, sorry. Let us triple our talents in which the Lord has given us. If you have influence for God, if you love God, do it and show it to others. If you have a mind that you know God has given it to you, give it and help others. If you have a hand that is able to help not just yourself and your household, help others. If you have a loving heart and you're able to offer the love of God, give it to someone. If you have life, and everyone here does, because we are breathing together here this morning, give your life to God. This is what He wants from us. We know that individually we will be asked what we did with our own talents, and through our individuality being asked, but by working on our talents with Christ, seeking God's counsel and His guidance, while doing it for all those that we come in contact in, then, simply then, by loving God and sharing our talents that He has given us, we may hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You profited off of so little. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen.